Well, it's been great already today, this evening, and I'm excited about what God is going to do. I hope you'll be here tomorrow as we start in the Sunday school hour, and we have some information to share with you, some just explaining what is happening through Awake America and our goals. And really, it's not a man-made thing. We believe that God gives us divine appointments to meet with individuals, to see lives changed, and see our nation changed for the Lord Jesus Christ. And it doesn't begin on Capitol Hill. It begins in the state where you live. It begins with your mayor. It begins with your governor. It begins with your school board. It begins right in your own town. And God is looking for some representatives just to represent him well. Even here in Asheville, God needs some salt and light. Amen? There are two cards over on the table right over here, and I hope you'll grab them. We have begun some podcasts, and everywhere I go, Christians, after I walk out of the pulpit, they said, "Brother, you just gave me some hope. I hear what's going on in D.C., and that just gives me hope." And we've just been doing some podcasts with some stories that will give you hope, stories of America, some just short podcasts. We do them every week, and we've just begun. I hope that you'll get that. And then also, we have a Capital Connection card, shares with you the date, what is happening. And we are trying to just get down on Capitol Hill. Planned Parenthood comes in with their pink T-shirts. I'll never forget the man that runs the March for Life. He called me. He said, "Mike Creed, you're a Baptist." And I said, "Yes, I am." And he goes, "You're an independent Baptist." And I said, "Yes, I am." And he said, "You live around here." And I said, "Yes, I do." He said, "Well, the president of Planned Parenthood is coming to D.C., and every time they come in and they go into the room where they're having the committee meetings, and they fill it with pink T-shirts, and the F words are flying, and the vitriol." And he said, "They just fill every seat in there." And he said, "Could you get some independent Baptists to come over here and just fill that place?" So I called my pastor friends. I took some of our teenagers. I called anybody I knew. And we got there early in the morning and got in line. There was not one pink T-shirt in that committee room. It was the most, you should have heard them cussing outside. It was wonderful. And I told kids, I said, "Don't you get up and go use the restroom. You'll lose your seat. Just stay here. Do what you got to do. Just sit here." And we just prayed and tried to lift the arms of the legislators. There needs to be some salt and light on Capitol Hill. And we take one time a year, and we bring folks. We're trying to get people from every district in the United States, voting district in the United States, to come, go into their leader's office, and not tell them my sewer's running over, not tell them that you voted the wrong way. We ask them to come and just pray with the leader, whether they're a Democrat or Republican. You saw a guy praying with Cory Booker there. Whether they're Democrat or Republican, we pray with them, and we pray for them, and we pray with them. And it's amazing what God has done on Capitol Hill for us. It's amazing the reaction. They look for us every year, and we bring Christians. We print Bibles, we print tracts, and we always write a book, or we reprint an old book. And every leader on the Hill gets that book with the gospel message in it. And they're happy to take it, and it's exciting. Some of them say, "I can't wait till Capital Connection gets here." And so we look forward to that, and we just need more people. I'd love to see preachers just cover Capitol Hill. We've done about 12 to 1,500 at the most, and it's always a wonderful time. And then we have the leaders come in and speak to us, and always just, it's amazing. Some of the key folks that right now that are standing up for our rights are former Baptist preachers. There's Mr. Collins from Georgia, talks about 80 miles an hour. I love to see him there at the gavel in the house. But he said "I was a Baptist preacher down in Georgia," and he said, "Everybody always asked me, what makes a Baptist preacher come to think he can come to Capitol Hill and be a representative?" He said, "Well, I've been through 20 years of deacons meetings in a Baptist church." He said, "I can do it." Amen. We have preachers. You would be shocked how many born again Bible believing Christians there are on Capitol Hill. And we get the privilege to go in, whether they're born again or if they're from our home. We go in and we pray with them, and we lift up their arms, and we encourage them. And God has done miraculous things in the 7 years that we've been there. God's done miraculous things. Pick these cards up. They'll help you to understand. Tonight, I want to look at Daniel chapter 4. Wasn't that a great message on prayer? And I appreciate Brother Cruz. I appreciate his family. His son is now on deputation to come to Capitol Hill. And he is going to be walking the halls, he and his wife. He's at 70%. And he's only, how long has he been on the road? About a year, and he's going to be there on Capitol Hill. We're excited about that. We have some other young men. There's folks in my ministry. Yesterday, we had the privilege to be in a meeting that was set up by some leaders on Capitol Hill. Brother Chad Conley helped us get there, but there were some folks literally in the White House that are working on religious persecution around the world. And I sat and listened to a bunch of a crowd of foreigners talk about what was happening in other nations. And I almost stood up and said, I'm glad I'm an American. You say, why? Because they were talking about losing their church buildings, and they didn't have freedom of religion, and losing their pastors, and losing ground. And folks, tonight we can come to church, open our Bible, we can preach the Word of God without any threat of anybody coming in and stopping us. We have freedom of press, freedom, you think about this, we have freedom of religion. We have freedom of speech, and I got to understand this. It was a Baptist preacher that helped us with that, a man named John Leland, walking on a road between Orange, Virginia and Fredericksburg, Virginia, stops and talks to James Madison and said, Mr. Madison, you can run, and we can vote for you, or I can go ahead and take the seat as a Baptist pastor and work on freedom of religion. And Mr. Madison chose to do that, and of course, he wrote the Bill of Rights, and got that passed, kept his promise. And we as Christians, as believers, need to get up from our seat of do-nothing and begin to speak truth. Amen. In our communities, with our leaders, yes, and with those that are around. Now, I want to take you to, if you look at Daniel chapter 4, there's a lot I'd like to say tonight. But I want to share a message with you. And I want you to look at Daniel chapter 4. Let me just read verses 1 and 2. It says, why don't we all stand, do some Baptist aerobics, amen? Everybody ready to wake up? Daniel chapter 4 and verse 1, it says, Nebuchadnezzar the king unto all people, nations and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I thought it good to show the signs and wonders that the high God hath wrought toward who? Toward me. This is Nebuchadnezzar's proclamation of what God has done in his life. Isn't that amazing? Here the king is telling the story. I've always read Daniel as seeing Daniel writing this, but literally chapter 4 is a testimony of a government leader that had been influenced by a child of God. Now notice what it says, how great are his signs, how mighty are his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion is from generation to generation. Now, I want to use the text verse here. If you look down in verse 8, I want you to notice this, that he has a dream, and this is his second dream. It's a dream of a massive tree. The first dream, he forgot, and he told him he would kill him if they didn't remember the dream. Can you imagine that? But in this, he has a dream of a large tree, and he's troubled because this angel flies down from heaven, cuts the tree down, and he needs the interpretation of the dream. And he goes to his astrologers and his magicians and all these different individuals trying to get wisdom or find out what the dream was. But I like verse 8 because it says this, but at the last, Daniel came in before me, whose name was Belteshazzar. Lord, I pray that you'll bless this time, and pray that you'll make it a special time for us. God, give us wisdom, work in our lives, and just meet needs as we look at this portion of Scripture and just see a man that stood up and voiced his opinion and was used by God to influence nations and kings and literally people and leaders because he was unashamed to be called your child. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. As I look at this, as this man, this Daniel, named Belteshazzar. We understand, we've read, and Daniel was a man that purposed in his heart, and he was a young man that was literally taken to the into the Babylonian captivity. I just had the privilege to write my first book. And my wife is an editor. She edits my writing, and it's really ugly when she does that. But we never told anybody that we were writing a book, and it took about a year. Late at night, I'd go home, and I would write a chapter, or we'd edit. And I thank the Lord we're still married after writing this book. Amen? It's a wonderful thing that we're still married. If you've ever written a book or gone through it, it's grueling. But the book was on Daniel, and it's not on the prophetical side of Daniel. It's on the practical side. Literally, it shares about the practicality of him moving men and moving nations because he was a man with an excellent spirit. Now, years ago, when we first went down on Capitol Hill, for years I lived there. I grew up in right in the Washington, D.C. area. I was very privileged because we had the chief of the White House police, and we had folks that worked on Air Force One, pilots and crew chiefs for like 20 years. And so I got to enjoy things, but I always wondered about going into leaders and voicing my opinion or just getting to know them. And I was scared to death. You don't know what to do, how to do it, how to approach it. And I'll never forget a group of men, preachers, were coming to town. They called me and said, we wanted to see if you'd come down and meet with us. I was pastoring at that time. And I said, sure, I'll come down. And I went down and met these 10 preachers that were all from all over the nation. And they took us into Capitol Hill and began to make me aware of what God could do. Now, about 2 weeks prior to this, I was getting ready on Wednesday night, tightening my tie, and my wife was sitting on the bed. The radio was playing, and she said, did you hear what they just said? Did you hear what they're doing down in D.C.? And I said, yes, Valerie, I heard that. I mean, it was plain, clear English. And she said, you need to do something about that. And I said, woman, who do you think I am? And she said, well, back in the old days when a preacher had some fire in his belly, he might go downtown and do something about that. And I just kind of tightened my tie, walked out of the room. I got the call, the 10 pastors invited. We went to John Ashcroft's office, and John Ashcroft would not talk to us until he did a 30-minute Bible study. I was impressed. He said, we ramp up. He said, we read, we argue. He said, I couldn't find an A word, so I used the word argue. He said, we meditate, and then we pray. And he said, we just kind of ask questions. And so we sat in a circle, 10 preachers, sat with Attorney General John Ashcroft, and he gave us his testimony of salvation. He began to share with us the Bible and began to just share with us a need. And he made a statement that has never left me. He made the statement, he said, somebody's got to do something on Capitol Hill. And he said this, right now there is a vacuum on Capitol Hill, and somebody is going to fill it. He said either Bible-believing Christians will fill it, or he said the world will fill it, but somebody has to do something for God on Capitol Hill. He said, I believe in church planting. He said, I believe in sending missionaries all around the world, but he said this, we have the privilege to go on Capitol Hill and to just literally share with senators, just encourage them and share with them. And I'll never forget the last meeting we had, these 10 guys were looking at me, and they start laughing. I'm like, what's up, guys? And they said, you're the one. You live 11, I live 11 miles from the White House as the crow flies. And they said, you're the one, you're going to do this. And I said, do what? And they said, you're going to go down and you're going to start knocking on doors on Capitol Hill. They have welcome mats. They'll offer you a drink of water, and we're gonna get you into a meeting. And I met in a meeting with Mr. Boehner, and Mike Pence was in the meeting, and I sat in the meeting. And as I sat in the meeting, we announced that we were gonna be representing 2.3 million independent Baptists from the United States on Capitol Hill. We're there just to have an excellent spirit and be a blessing. I handed out Bibles. I handed a Bible to Mike Pence with his name on it, a New Testament. And he said, Pastor, he said, you're a pastor? And I said, yes, Pastor Creed. He said, I just had my devotions this morning in Nehemiah. And he said, boy, thank you so much for the Bible. He said, the Bible is great. And I'll never forget that, spending that time. And that opened a door. We walked out of that meeting. I walked out to the front doors of the Capitol. We were getting ready to go over to a meal. And a lady walked up and she said, who are you? And I said, well, let me ask you, who are you? And she said, I'm Jeannie. And I said, Jeannie who? And she said, I'm Jeannie Thomas. She goes, I said, what do you do, Jeannie? And she said, I cause trouble on Capitol Hill. She said, I'm a lobbyist. And I said, does your husband work here? And she said, yeah, across the street. And I said, what's his name? And she said, his name's Clarence. I said, you are not Clarence Thomas's wife. And she said, yes, I am. And I said, no, you aren't. And I said, I don't believe you. And she said, come to lunch with me and we'll talk. So we sat with Eric Cantor and Jeannie Thomas, and she said, how can I help you? And I said, I'm brand new on Capitol Hill. Could you give me 10 of the best individuals to meet with that would listen to me? And from then on, I went home, and she sent me this email. It looked like a teenage girl's email. I mean, I funky fonts and all, and I'm like, this is definitely not Jeannie Thomas. And I went to the first one. His name was Steve King from Iowa. And walked in and said, Jeannie Thomas put you at the top of the list, and I'd like to just share with you Awake America. I had no clue what I was doing, and they said, could you be around? Usually they say, come back the third Tuesday of next year. They said, could you wait about a half hour? And I said, absolutely. So I went in with Steve King and had about a half hour. We prayed together, and I praised the Lord. I sat with John Boehner in his office, and at that time, he smoked 3 Camel cigarettes while I was there, and it was a very interesting time with him, and gave him gospel literature. And John Boehner was a great friend to me. While he was there, he gave me helped me get rooms. He helped Awake America greatly, and I had the opportunity to spend time with Catherine Haley and Bill Green and a lot of his folks. And I just began to knock on doors. Literally, I asked our church, can I go to Capitol Hill on Thursdays, maybe Wednesdays, Thursdays, knock on doors. And I began to get calls, and we had this thing called Capitol Connection. We didn't know what we were doing, and we had about 700 people show up, 653 the first time, and 850 the second time, and 1,000 the next time, 1,200 the next time, and God just began to grow, and God has given us an opportunity to be a blessing. We are nobodies, but with God, you're somebody. Amen? Amen? Yes. And so I see this man named Daniel, and Daniel, he was a man, I began to study his life. He was literally born in the revival of Josiah. How many of you know about Josiah, that little boy king that 8 years of age? And we find that Daniel was born when the revival was taking place. And Daniel gets to see God's man, this king, come in and clean the kingdom up, get rid of the idols, live for God. And then all of a sudden we understand that if you study his life, he had preachers that influenced him like Jeremiah. I wrote them down, Jeremiah, Nahum, Habakkuk. And we see all these different things happening in his life. And then he hears Jeremiah start talking about this group, these people that are going to come from the north. They're going to come into Jerusalem, and there's going to be a Babylonian captivity and 70 years of captivity. And just like God's man preached, it happened. Daniel was carried into the Babylonian captivity, into Babylon. We understand this, and God used him greatly. Amazing thing, when you read the first chapter, they tried to change his education. They tried to change him as an individual, literally sexually or his gender. They tried to change the way he talked. They changed his name. They wanted to change his food. But Daniel had an excellent spirit. Even in the midst of all that took place, Daniel stood for God, and God did great things in this young man's life. As I studied his life, he goes into Babylonian captivity, and all these different victories take place. There's a victory, there's a victory at the fiery furnace. There's a victory at the den of lions, and there are victories in the different things that take place. This is a victory chapter. But as I looked at those, every time there was a victory in the Babylonian captivity amongst Daniel, it was a victory over a Babylonian god. You say, what do you mean? There are many gods that they had, but they had a god named Marduk, which was a solar god, and there was victory at the fiery furnace. Nabu was a god, literally Nabu, and amazing enough, when I walked into the Library of Congress in the Adams building, there's a brass door, and Nabu, the god of wisdom from Babylonian captivity, is right on our brass doors of our wonderful Library of Congress. I love that place, but it's amazing how they have a god of intellect from Babylon right on the brass doors in the front of the Adams building. We find that Daniel interpreted dreams. There's Ishtar, which was a winged lioness. And of course, Daniel in the den of lions. And then there was a Mesopotamian tree of life where they had this tree that they worshiped there in the Babylonian captivity. And God comes in this portion and he shows this massive tree, but he shows a great victory. Now, what are you saying tonight, Pastor? What do you want to share tonight? I want to say this. I love it how Nebuchadnezzar tells the story of what happens in his life, but I love it how he says, but at last, here comes Daniel. Because when I think of Daniel, I think of you and I think of me. When I think of Daniel, I think of a teenage young lady or a teenage young man, a college and career individual, a husband, a wife. I think of a child of God that takes the opportunity that God affords them to influence somebody for him. You say, Pastor, what are you saying? If you read Nebuchadnezzar, Daniel came in a troubled time. Nebuchadnezzar was troubled by the dream. Here's this massive tree, and the animals were there, and it fed all the nations, and we find that it shows that there was it kind of reveals a person of great power, and it influenced the nations of people, and Daniel comes in at this time, and Nebuchadnezzar is trying to figure this thing out. He's trying to get it in his head. I'll never forget in these past years, Representative Jones from here, he passed away from North Carolina, and I'm going into his office, and I'm saying, Lord, what do you want me to do? How can I help this man? And he lets me in, and he says this, Pastor, come in, please, come in. And we get in his office, he closes the door. He said, every time you guys come in and pray with me, God does something in my office. And I said, thank you, Lord. It's not Mike Creed. It's not any of us. It's just somebody being available in the place that God has for them. Amen. Here comes Daniel, and all of a sudden, Nebuchadnezzar is troubled, and we find that he's in a questioning time. If you look in verse 5, he's questioning, and in verse 6, he's seeking. He's seeking time, and we find Daniel in verse 7, the time was there where there were no answers. He couldn't get an answer from a wise man. He's having trouble, and all these individuals, he invited them in, the most wise individuals of the nation. He had them come in, and they could not answer the question, but then at last Daniel came in. And I want to say this, we are nobodies. But I'll tell you what, when you put God in the equation, we're somebody. And when you realize, honestly, you saw a video up there, and I don't know how that happened. Honestly, there was a lot of work, and I did some work, and I scheduled some people. But if you know, just as well as I know, you schedule leaders, and you schedule senators and representatives, and they don't always come. I always pray that they're going to show up, that I'm going to have somebody to speak. But it's God that does the work. And God puts us in a certain place at a certain time, and Daniel walks in, and Nebuchadnezzar begins to describe Daniel as a man that has the spirit of the holy gods. He worships the holy God, and we find that Daniel is seen as a man of God. And folks, it's not Daniel. I love how he uses Daniel's Hebrew name. I love how God he uses the name from that kingdom. Literally, it has to do with those gods that I just spoke about. Daniel literally had those a name that was originated from those gods. But Daniel comes in, and as Daniel comes in, this king shares this dream, and he says, I'm troubled. I've got to have an answer. And he says this, I'm looking at this massive tree in my sleep, and all of a sudden this angel comes from heaven. He calls it a watcher. And he takes an axe and cuts it down, and there's some brass rings around, and there's a stump left. It falls over, and he said, it really troubles me. I need some help. And Daniel says this, and I love how Daniel is. Daniel doesn't say, I'll get you the answer. He says, he comes and he says, it's God that gives the answers to these things. There's time when Nebuchadnezzar says, hey, do you have an answer to my dream? He says, no, but there is a God in heaven. Amen. And there's a God in heaven, folks. When you start functioning on your own, you'll fall flat on your face. And I look at a video like that and it shocks me, because I'm a nobody and God's willing to use nobodies. When we get a big head, that's when we get in trouble. Daniel comes, and I love how Daniel comes in this time. Daniel came, number one, I'm going to share a few ways that Daniel came. Daniel came as a representative. And when we go to Washington, D.C., when you go, you ought to go to your mayor. I'll never forget, he came as a representative of the Most High God. You'll see it through here. I highlight that my Bible is so marked up in this chapter, I can barely read the scriptures. I've studied it so hard. But Daniel came, and he represented the Most High God. And folks, we are to be representatives of the Lord. God, I tell people, if God cracks the door, I'm sticking my toe in. You say, Pastor, what are you talking about? I'm going to take every opportunity. The Bible uses the word effectual doors. The word effectual means powerful doors. Amen. And I'll tell you what, when God opens a powerful door, I'm going to get my leg in on that. Amen? Amen. And so I see Daniel, and Daniel, he comes, and he's very honorable, and he listens to the dream. But he comes as a representative of the Most High God. In Maryland, our government, our Senate is totally Democrat, and there's a few Republicans in the Assembly, and they call them the God Squad and kind of laugh about them. But there's a man that is over, literally, he's over the Senate. He's the president of the Maryland Senate. He's been there. His name is Senator Mike Miller. He's been there. He's the longest standing president of the Maryland Senate in the history of Maryland. He came to our first Capitol Connection. He sat right there on the front pew. When he began to hear the preacher singing, I could look down there and he was weeping. I mean, it was amazing to hear all the voices of the preachers, the ladies and the men, and the house was full to the gills, and they were singing, and he was sitting right on the front row, and he began to weep. One preacher preached, the second preacher preached, and we gave an invitation. A young man scooted over to him and began to share the gospel with him. And I saw him bow his head, and he prayed, and I never bothered him about it. I went to seek some, he's my legal help when I need legal help. He never charges me. I pay him with Dominican coffee. He said, I don't need any more Dominican coffee. You've been here so much, I can't stand Dominican coffee anymore, okay? Don't give me any more Dominican coffee, okay? But I went by his office, and he said, thank you so much for letting me come to that meeting. They gave Maryland, the state of Maryland actually proclaimed it Awake America Day and gave us a proclamation. It passed 100%, and they gave us a proclamation, and he got saved on that day. I'll never forget, I went to his office. I didn't bother him that night. I went to his office, and he said, Pastor, I need the fella, and he didn't know how to say it. He's kind of like Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar calls it the Most High Gods, Most High God, the spirit of the gods, and he doesn't know how to say it. And Senator Mike Miller said, I got confirmed at your church. He goes, I've been Catholic all my life, but I've never had anything happen to me like that. And that night I accepted Jesus as my Savior. And he said, that young man shared that with me and took time and showed me from the scriptures. He said, I've been going to Baptist churches, and he said, sitting in cushy chairs and drinking coffee. I don't know where that was, but it wasn't my church. But he said, I've been listening to Luke 11, and I've been hearing all this. And he said, I just want to thank you. He said, that young man, I need to write him a letter. He sent me a book on discipleship. I just finished it. And he said, I need to tell him thank you. I'm glad there was a representative there that night, a young man. Senator Mike Miller, he doesn't know how to say it because he didn't grow up in our church. There are folks that are going to walk in your doors here at this church, in this Baptist church, and they're going to walk in and they don't know anything about it. They need to know that you have a heart for them. They need to know that you love them. And I understand this. The leaders on Capitol Hill are the same way. They're welcome mats. There are folks that have problems. There's individuals that have needs. There are folks that are going through things. They're moms, they're dads. And they just need somebody to get with them and pray with them. And we take that opportunity not to go in with our veins sticking out of our neck like independent Baptists are known for. We're going in with an excellent spirit like Daniel went into Nebuchadnezzar. Here he comes. Here comes Daniel. In other words, here comes somebody that believes in the living God. Here comes a man of faith. Here comes somebody I can talk to and I can trust. And I understand this. Daniel comes in as a representative. God needs some representatives in North Carolina. Boy, I'm excited about what's happening in North Carolina State House. I know that it's happening all over, and we get calls, and there are folks that are at Wake America that say, hey, I want to do the same thing in my state. They're doing it in Colorado and California. They're doing it in Michigan. They're in Iowa. There are 13 different state houses we're a part of. And then we have preachers all over the country that are praying and spending time with their leaders in their districts. I want to challenge you. There is a vacuum here in Asheville. There's an opportunity. There's a privilege. There are some people probably here that could run for the school board. I challenge you to look and watch, see how many votes people win by with school boards. It's amazing. Not a lot of votes are voted. And there could be some Christians on the school boards. There could be some Christians in the mayor's office. There could be a Christian dog catcher in this place. Amen? Nothing wrong with a Christian dog catcher. I'm saying this. Hey, may we come to a place that we come in and we speak truth and we're a wonderful representative for the Savior. Amen. Daniel comes in and he's in that place. I noticed I wrote the second thing down and not taking all the time. I understand that Daniel came in as an agent of truth. What happens? Nebuchadnezzar comes to him and Nebuchadnezzar, I find it interesting. You might want to write it down. Jeremiah 27 and verse 6. A lot of you complain about Donald Trump. And some people say, you know, I wish he'd quit tweeting or I wish he'd quit cussing. And a lot of people think that Donald Trump ought to be a pastor. There's no pastors that are president. And I'm not making excuses for him. But, you know, God called Nebuchadnezzar one of the most vile men. God called him my servant. That shocked me. And, boy, I'll tell you what, I am invited to the Vice President's Bible study on Wednesdays, and I don't always go because I have other meetings, but I have been over probably 30 times, and Mike Pence is salt and light there in the White House. Every Wednesday at noon, they have a Bible study. They don't just do a little ditty. They open the Bible. They take an hour. People in the White House go there. People from outside the White House go there. Even the chaplain, I was with the chaplain of the White House, and I said, where are you from? And he said, I'm from this little town. You wouldn't know it. He said, this town called Elkton, Maryland. And I said, you're probably born in Union Memorial Hospital. He goes, how'd you know? And I said, because I was born in Elkton, Maryland, in Union Memorial Hospital. And it's amazing how God just shows you and lets you meet people, and there's just great opportunities. I'm a nobody, but God wants to use somebody. And we have the opportunity to be a representative for him, but not only that, to speak truth. Nebuchadnezzar, this dream, and look at verse 18, this dream I, King Nebuchadnezzar, have seen. Now thou, O Belteshazzar, declare the interpretation thereof, for as much as all the wise men of my kingdom are not able to make known unto me the interpretation, but thou art able. Wouldn't it be good if some Christians had right spirits? If some Christians walked in with pure motives? Yes. You know, I'm not going in to take advantage of a leader, but going in and literally caring for them. My daughter-in-law passed away. She was 33 years old, had a brain tumor. She passed away. It's probably been a month and a half ago. And during Capital Connection, I was going through that. I was trying to work through everything, and I went into a leader's office, and I'll just say it, Mark Walker. I mean, you all know Mark Walker, and I was in Mark Walker's office. He said, Mike, come in here, and he closed the door, didn't let anybody in. And we sat down, and he goes, you look bothered. I said, my daughter-in-law has a brain tumor, and she has two little children, a one-year-old and a four-year-old, and going through some deep waters. And he said, Mike, you always pray with me. Why don't you let me pray with you this time? That was a blessing. I went to another office, farm girl. She had her assistant in there, and she goes, Mike, you look burdened. I said, well, I got this big meeting coming up, and I'm scheduling folks, and you know how politicians are. She goes, I know, I'm one of them. And she goes, but you look like, I said, well, I've got some things going on. My daughter-in-law's not doing well, and just some things happening. And she goes, Mike, why don't you let me pray today? And I said, I'll do that. And Vicki Hartzler prayed with me on that day, and it was a wonderful time. It was encouraging. It's exciting to be able to be transparent with them. And they know you care about them. And there have been times when I walked in, and I walked into an office one time where right outside the rules committee, and had a meeting with a guy, and he walked in the room and he had sweat coming down as he walked out of the committee room, the rules committee room. It's the last room. When a bill goes down to the floor, it goes into this rule, committee room, and they wean it down, take things out, put things in. And he came out of that room and he put his hands flat down on the table. They closed the door and he's sweating and he didn't even know us at the time. And he said, how can I help you guys? And he's looking at the table and we said, we're here to help you. He said, what do you mean, help me? And I said, we're here to pray with you. Found out that he had ridden a bus to an independent Baptist church in his childhood, got saved. He was teaching Sunday school at the time. He grew up in an independent Baptist church. And one time when the government was shut down, I was teaching class, and he walked into my class, shocked me to death. Nobody knew who he was in the world. But I sat down, and he said, how are you going to help me? And we said, we're going to pray for you. Give us some prayer requests. And he said, number one, I need wisdom today. He said, I definitely need wisdom for the meeting I just came out of. And then he said something that really stood out to me. He said, would you pray that I would have courage? A lot of these guys are under major pressure from lobbyists, from money people, to vote the way everybody wants them to vote. And he said, would you pray for wisdom and would you pray for courage? I mean, he's got his hands flat on the table. We had three fellows with us and we began to pray for him. And we had a wonderful time of fellowship, and he had to go back into the rules committee. And as he was walking out, he just stopped and he said, guys, this has been the best day of my week. Thank you. And I just said this, Lord, thank you for giving me an opportunity. Daniel comes into Nebuchadnezzar and he's got all these problems, and I don't know. And he said, I need you to interpret this dream. But Daniel had to tell him the truth. And see, I don't go to Capitol Hill and kind of smooth over things. I mean, to smooth things over, Daniel goes, and Nebuchadnezzar says, give me the truth, tell me about this. And I want you to look down, look what it says down in the Bible. It says this in verse 22, he says, it is thou. Who is this tree? What does this tree stand for? It is thou, O king, and thou art grown and become strong, and greatness is grown and reacheth unto the heaven, and the dominion and thy dominion to the end of the earth. Whereas the king saw a watcher and a holy one come down from heaven and saying, hew down that tree, or cut that tree down. In other words, he said, it's you're going to get cut down. Because you're too big for your britches, that's my interpretation, okay? Because you've grown big and you think you're the one, God's going to come down and he's going to cut you off. But there's a stump left in his dream with some rings around it. You say, what is that? That is called the mercy of God. Because he was not going to die. There was going to be a stump left there. And he looks at him, and honestly, folks, there have been times I was walking between the Russell Building and the Cannon Building on the street, and a representative came up and he said, "Hey, you come with me." And I'm like, "What did we do?" And we walked behind him, walked through, got x-rayed, and went up, and he said, "Come in my office." And we went in the back door, and he didn't let anybody in. And I'm like, "Man, what in the world did we do?" And he said, "Guys, I just would like to ask you, who should I vote for president?" And we looked at him and said, "You should be telling us that." He said, "No, you guys are going to tell the truth. I admire you for your stand. You guys are men of prayer. Would you give me some insights?" And that shocked me to death. And we spoke to him and shared some things. We didn't tell him what to do. But it's an amazing thing when God opens up opportunities. But when he opens up the opportunities, we need to tell the truth. It's not about us, folks. It's all about the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? I understand this. He came as an agent of truth. And boy, I tell you what, I'm going to declare that interpretation. This is you, and this is the decree. If you look down at verse 24, he said, "This is the decree of the Most High." In other words, he said this. This is what the message God has for you. And folks, we all need to hear the truth. Amen? Now, there's a tendency when you're around politicians, around people, there's a tendency to smooth things over. There's a tendency kind of to agree with them so that you can become friends. But folks, Daniel came to a place where he looked the king in the eye and he said, "I'm just going to tell you the truth. This is you, and God is going to cut you down, and God is going to put you on your hands and knees, and you're going to be like an animal because it's all about you. And it's not about God." What happens? Boy, I'll tell you what. He tells the truth and he speaks, he shares this truth. And I love it how he is that representative of the Most High God. Boy, I'll tell you, I'm glad I represent the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. With God, how many things are possible? All things are possible. It's amazing what God will do. Amen. Walking through the halls, and we had a special need, and it was a day before Capital Connection. We had a special need, and I said, "Man, we better do something. You know, we've got to work this problem out." And we walked around the corner, and a leader walked out of the elevator, and he walks up and goes, "Hey guys, you need anything today?" I said, "Thank you, Jesus." He said, "What can I do for you? How can I help you today?" And we said, well, we're having this big meeting and we have all these people coming and we need this. And he said, turned around to the girl behind him and he said, "Make that happen for them." I said, "Thank you, Jesus." You know, I wanted to have a holy conniption fit right there in the hallway. And I said, "Thank you, Jesus." He said, now call me back. We'll make this happen. Is there anything else?" "Yeah, we would like you to help us with a tour, an after-hours tour. And if you could just get us an after-hours tour." "No problem, right? Could you write that down?" And she wrote that down, and we walked away and said this: "Isn't God good?" Amen. Because it's not us, folks. Right. Honestly, we need to speak the truth. We need to walk in his will and let God do what he wants. Let me ask you today, are you representing him well? Are you being political today? Are you kind of in the middle of the road? Do you kind of change when you get into another crowd? I don't want to change when I go down to Capitol Hill. I want to pray for my meal. I want to pray with the leader. I want to be honest with them. One young man, we walked into an office, and the young man said, I've got to have you pastors help us. Please come in. And the leader wasn't there. He walks us in, puts us in the office, closes the door. And I'm like, what in the world has he gotten into? And he said, "I'm getting married in about a month and I need some marital counseling." I'm like, "You got to be kidding. Marital counseling on Capitol Hill." You know, he goes, "Give me some good verses. You know, tell me something." And so we did some marital counseling. You say, you got to be prepared for it all. But God will use you if it's not you and it's about him. May it be about him. Boy, I tell you what, there's no big people. They're just people that surrender their lives to the Lord. and say, to God be the glory, whatever you want to do in my life. I love it. He speaks the truth. What happens? Nebuchadnezzar hears the message, hears that it's him, and for a year, Nebuchadnezzar rejects the message. Nebuchadnezzar hears it, and I think it's kind of like sometimes people come to church and they say, well, the preacher preached that, but it didn't happen. Maybe Daniel missed on that one. You know, maybe his interpretation was a little bit wrong. I haven't been cut down yet. Nothing's happened to me. Everything's gone good. It's been a year. Maybe he is a little stick-in-the-mud kind of guy, you know. Maybe he's just a little bit too truthful. I love what happens, and you see this. It says this. If you look in verse 29, and at the end of 12 months, he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon, and this king and the king spake and said, is not this great Babylon that I have built? Isn't that amazing? For the house of the kingdom, by the might of my power, and for the honor of my majesty. In other words, he walks over to the window and he says, look what I have done. And it was nothing about God. What happens? Notice this. It says, the same hour, in verse 33, was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from men and did eat grass as an oxen. His body was wet with dew of heaven till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers and his nails like the bird's claws. And we understand this. God begins to work in Nebuchadnezzar's life. Let me say it again. Politicians are people. They have secretaries. They have staff. I think 30-year-olds are running Capitol Hill. They're writing the speeches. They're doing all the 30-year-olds and below. People in the offices, they're doing the research. They're doing a lot of the things. I mean, the speeches, and it's an amazing thing what happens. But I look at, and he gets way up there, and he had heard Daniel. But now, just as Daniel shared in the dream, when he told the truth, here he is. Daniel is a counselor to him. Daniel shares the counsel. You need to listen to God. You need to do right. When he came in, he was a representative. Understand this. He was a truth speaker, but he also came in as a person that was a counselor. Boy, he had told Nebuchadnezzar. Look in verse 27. Wherefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee, and break off thy sins in the by righteousness. In other words, he's saying this. Get right with God. And folks, today that's not a popular message to politicians. But I'll tell you this, I can go in with the right spirit and I can share truth with concern for the individual. I've had individuals had their children in the office and they said, my children are with me on vacation. Could we just pray? And literally they knelt in the middle of their office with their children and prayed. And they really know that you're concerned and you want to see right done. And they pray, and I've had them weep, and some of them say, I hate this place, I wish I was never here. And then you say this, God has you here for such a time as this. And they go, what'd you say? And you're a representative, a minister, according to the Bible in Romans 13. God has you here for a purpose. One of our pastors walked into an office, and the leader was down, and at Capital Connection, he spent time with the man, and he walked out of the office. And when the man came back to the home district, he said, I just appreciate you stopping by my office. He said, that day was a critical vote, and he said, you changed my vote that day. The man was shocked. He said, all I did was prayed with him. All I did was try to encourage him. And folks, we don't understand what God could do through us. Men, women, children, senior citizens, I don't care who you are. God wants you to be his representative. And boy, I tell you, here is Nebuchadnezzar. He came, Daniel came as a counselor, but then you see this, and I'll close with this. I want you to notice this. Daniel came to see God's mercy and to see God's message come to fruition. What do you mean? I want you to look at these last, look at verse 34, and it says this. At the end of the day, I, Nebuchadnezzar, here he is. Nebuchadnezzar is giving his testimony of what Daniel had been to him. He said this, At the end of the day, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lift up my eyes into heaven, and my understanding returned to me, and I blessed the Most High. Here's Daniel, the representative, was a good representative, wasn't he? I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is everlasting, his everlasting dominion, his kingdom from generation to generation, and all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doeth according to his will in the armies of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? This is Nebuchadnezzar that thought that he was the man. He now says this, God's going to do whatever he wants to do in heaven and in earth. Notice what he says, verse 36. The same time my reason returned unto me, for the glory of my kingdom and mine honor and the brightness returned unto me, and my counselors and my lords sought me, and I was established in my kingdom, and that an excellent majesty was added unto me. And I want you to understand, Nebuchadnezzar lived about a year, maybe a year and a half longer after this in his kingdom. Then his son, just like the Bible says, his son took that throne. But look at verse 37. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride he is able to abase. Aren't you glad? I love that verse. Verse 8, but at last, Daniel came in before me, whose name was Belteshazzar, a man that is, it's said of him that he had an excellent spirit, but he spoke truth. He had excellent spirit. He's a counselor. He had an excellent spirit. He is a representative of God. He had an excellent spirit. He spoke truth. And here's my question for you today. In America, we need more Daniels today in America. We need ladies that'll stand up for truth. We need men that'll stand up for truth. But I'll tell you what, North Carolina needs some folks. And you say, Pastor, you know, why are you saying that we need to vote? Why is it so important to vote? Hey, if you don't vote someday, you'll look back and apologize to your children for the freedoms that you lose. You say, why do we vote? I believe that we could have a third great awakening in America. A lot of people think America's gone. I believe there's still an opportunity for a third great awakening. Why should I vote? I'll tell you why you should vote, because if you vote, God can give us freedom to go out and knock on doors and see people saved and see our churches built and see our Christian schools go forward and see great things happen. But I look at a man... I look at Jonah, and he preached an 8-word message, and he was halfway digested, you know, and he was white and ugly and probably slimy when he got there, and he preached an 8-word message, and for 100 years, Nineveh had revival and was changed because of an 8-word message. The king repented, the people repented. And for 100 years, wouldn't it be good to have 100 more years in the United States where God reigned as king? I believe it's worth it. I have some grandkids that I want them to see what I grew up in. But I'll tell you what, if we don't watch it, we're going to lose what we have. If we don't become people that are wise, and we walk in at the right time with the right spirit, with the right message, with an excellent spirit. Now let me ask you tonight, how are you representing him tonight? Could God use you? Could God use you? I found myself, I was by myself, I started knocking on doors, and I met a man out of Tom Coburn's office named Mike. And Mike was his chief of staff. And Mike said, Pastor, let me help you along. It's summer. Mr. Coburn's not around. It's August break. come to his office and I'll start to help you. And I began to let Mike help me. And as Mike helped me, I'll never forget sitting there and saying, Mike, now you know for sure you're saved. You know you're going to heaven. I've accepted Christ as my personal Savior. I know for sure. In fact, he said, let's make a phone call. And he called, and he called Robert Murray, Madeline Murray O'Hare's son. And I'm like, what are you doing? And he had a speaker phone, and he said, Robert, I want to introduce you to Pastor Creed. And he said, hey, how are you doing, Pastor Creed? I'm up in Canada. Pray that I don't get thrown in jail for preaching against homosexuality and preaching, you know, the Bible. He said that you can get $5,000 fine and get thrown in jail if you say the wrong thing. And I said, I'll pray for you. And we began to create a relationship. And I sat with Mike, and I'll never forget, I sat with Mike Swartz and spent time with him. And there came a day when his arm just was bothering him. And Mike, what's going on, Mike? I don't know. I got to go to the doctor and get checked out. He comes in the next week and he said, Pastor, would you pray for me? He said, they said, I've got Lou Gehrig's disease. The next week, he's just kind of dragging along. Two weeks later, he said, Mike, would you turn the doorknob? I can't even turn a doorknob now. In January, he's in a wheelchair, and in a week, he's in eternity. And I look at people like that I've had the opportunity to be with, that were just real people. I went to his funeral, and I met folks at his funeral, and God began to open doors. Politicians have hearts too. They're real people. They're looking for somebody they can trust. And folks, they're looking for somebody to encourage them. Well, they're a Democrat, they're this, they're that, they believe this. Hey, you got to start somewhere. Build a relationship with them. You know, we're real big on knocking on doors all over our community. What's the matter with going down to City Hall and knocking on some doors there? Going to the State House and knocking on some doors there. Boy, at last, Daniel came in. I'm so glad somebody that knows God came in and helped me. Amen? Amen.